Silent Warrior Chronicles would like to issue a trigger warning for this week's episode, as we will be discussing topics that may be triggering for some of our audience.
Listener discretion is advised. If you or someone you know is experiencing a crisis, contact 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Stay safe, warriors.
Hola, warriors. Welcome back to another Talk With Us Tuesday, brought to you by the Silent Warrior Chronicles.
Namaste. We're excited to have you join us in this week's episode, and we thank you for your unconditional support. Don't forget to rate us and leave us a review. Shall we get started, Desi girl?
I'm ready when you are, Lady DMC.
Let's do it.
Welcome back, warriors, to another Talk With Us Tuesday, brought to you by Silent Warrior Chronicles. I'm your host, Desi girl, and today I have my best friend, my co-partner, my partner in crime, Lady DMC.
What's up, warriors? I'm so happy to be here today with you, Desi girl. As always, beautiful introduction.
So today we are going to be discussing something that happened back in 2014, a scandal, I guess we could say, that from the mental standpoint, I just want to say WTF. But Lady DMC, would you like to share with us what we're going to be discussing today?
Absolutely. So for those of us that kept our eyes on the news way back in yesteryear, as I like to say, I think we all heard about the infamous Slenderman stabbing case. So that is what we are going to be breaking down in terms of mental health today for you guys. So if it's okay with you, Desi girl, if I could give a little bit of background in terms of what the Slenderman was, what it was that happened in this case, and then you could go ahead and bring in your clinician side and opinion into this.
Yes, go for it. I am bursting from the seams right now.
Alrighty, girl, so am I. Okay. So trigger warning, guys. This episode's gonna be a little rough, but let's get started. So Slenderman actually was an illustration, a character that was created for a Photoshop contest. And this character is, obviously, it's the body of a man in a suit with a blank face. No expression, no nothing. And he was sometimes depicted with tentacles coming out of his back, right? This illustration became very famous. It was brought into drawings. It was brought into video games. It was brought into a lot of things in the young people's lives. And here is where we chime into the crime story that we're going to be discussing today. So, cue this girl named Morgan. Morgan Geyser. Sorry guys if I'm butchering names and stuff here, but I'm gonna try my best to pronounce this. So Morgan Geyser, a 12-year-old, was friends with Anissa Weir and Peyton, who her family lovingly called Bella Lautner. Turns out that Morgan gets very into Slenderman. She looks at all the drawings. She gets very much into this character, right? She starts believing in this character and what he does because it turns out that this character was turned into something, was distorted from being just something from a contest by other stories and people who grabbed the character, was distorted into something evil. He was turned into a character that lured kids into the woods and then would end up, you know, hurting them, killing them, kidnapping them, doing these terrible, horrible things, right? So Anissa starts talking to Morgan about this character. Morgan brings her friend Anissa into this character. And they start getting obsessed with Slenderman, really believing that he was going to come after them, really believing to the point that Slendermen, if they didn't do something to protect themselves, would not just come for themselves, but would come for their family. Cue the plan that these 12-year-olds, mind you, 12-year-olds, decide to formulate, and that is to become proxies for Slendermen. So basically do Slenderman's work. Turns out that Morgan formulates this plan that in order to save Anissa and to save herself, they would have to offer Slenderman a sacrifice. This sacrifice, unfortunately, would be their friend Peyton. Mind you, the other girls were already 12, and Peyton was gonna turn 12. So towards the day of her birthday party, these girls get everything ready, they formulate the plan, and they ask their parents permission, like any other 12-year-old would do, to go to a sleepover birthday party for Peyton. They had the birthday, everything went normal. Turns out that the next day was when their plan would be executed. The girls get up, decide to lure Peyton into the woods of their Wisconsin town, and of their Wisconsin area, to play, quote, hide and go seek, end quote. When the girls go to play hide and go seek, they end up attacking Peyton and stabbing her with a 5-inch kitchen knife 19 times. One of the times, it was a millimeter from hitting one of her major arteries, and with other stab wounds, they damaged her liver. They basically leave Peyton for dead in the woods, telling Anissa her not to move because she would bleed out quicker, and then leaving her and telling her that they were gonna go get help, which of course they weren't, because the plan was to kill her and then go find Slenderman's castle or mansion that was in their Wisconsin woods. This is exactly what they believe, so that's what they did. They ran off to find Slenderman's mansion. Peyton, in the midst of being wounded, winds up finding the strength to pull herself to the edge of the road, where fortunately a passerby on his bike finds the girl wounded, bleeding, basically dying from 19 stab wounds, and calling 911. She was in the hospital 6 days recovering, and the girls were apprehended. And that is basically the story of the Slenderman stabbing case.
Well, thank you, Lady DMC. That was a fantastic case summary for us. So these young ladies are in prison? No, they're in the psychiatric unit, right?
Yes, they're in a psychiatric unit, yes.
I believe it's like state hospital.
I believe so, yeah. At least I know Anissa was at Winnebago Mental Health Institute. This is where she's been for the past 4 years.
Yeah, it sounded like it was, it's a state facility.
It definitely sounds like it. Yeah, I think that's what I read. I think that's where they're taking her out of.
So, this isn't the end of the story. I want you to tell our listeners the newest updates.
So, it turns out that yesterday, precisely on the 13th, Anissa was actually granted conditional release by the judge that was holding her case. Basically, Anissa put in a petition because they were... So all three girls were 12 years old when this happened. Anissa was given 25 years because she participated in the stabbing, and Morgan was given 40 years because she premeditated in it. She premeditated the crime, and because she also did the stabbing as well. Both of them participated in this. Now that it's been 7 years, Anissa's now 19, And now they're saying that under this conditional release, as long as she's monitored by a GPS 24/7, as long as she goes with her father, and as long as she has no contact until 2039 with the victim, she's allowed to be released. Her putting in a petition that she supposedly exhausted all the resources at her mental health institute, and saying that if they want her to be a productive member of society when she comes out, she needs to participate in society.
And could you share with us what Anissa's diagnosis is and what Morgan's diagnosis is?
So Anissa was supposedly diagnosed with PTSD, major depression, and delusional / psychosis disorder. And Morgan Geiser was diagnosed with child schizophrenia.
Lady DMC, feeling really passionate about today's episode.
From the mental standpoint.
Por favor, give us your insight. I want to hear this.
So, I work in an inpatient psychiatric unit, and we deal with patients who have similar backgrounds. I know we keep it PG here at SWC, but I'm gonna call it bull. First off, the diagnoses make no sense to me at all. Morgan's kinda does because off air we did discuss a little bit, but Morgan's dad had schizophrenia, correct?
That is correct, yes. She has a family history with her father of schizophrenia.
So she's predisposed to having schizophrenia. That sorta makes sense to me. Anissa's diagnoses do not make sense to me. Now, let's break it down. PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. We talked about this in season one. We talked about my experience with it, and we've talked about briefly, like Angelina Jolie did a movie that, you know, may or may not have been PTSD. We've talked about it in Angelina Jolie's episodes, talking about her PTSD with her trauma. We've talked about Britney Spears. We've talked about other people. Again, Morris, I have not physically met with Anissa. I have not done a intake with her. I don't know her history. But what caused the PTSD? What trauma did she experience prior to this event that led some psychologists or psychiatrists to diagnose her with PTSD?
And Desigual, I want to ask you really quick, now that we're on the topic of this particular portion of her diagnosis, please correct me if I'm wrong, because again, I want to learn. But PTSD, as you were saying, from what? And how would PTSD make you agree to being a proxy to a fictional character and wanting to kill your best friend at 12 years old?
We're going to break it down. So that's PTSD. We've got a lot of questions there. Where did that come from? Major depressive disorder. So from my research, the only trauma per se in Anissa's life at the time was the parents divorcing. Supposedly Anissa's teachers had observed her becoming more depressed, more withdrawn. Okay, fine. I'll buy that. She has MDD. And then you said she had delusional disorder and psychosis?
Correct, yes.
Alright. Now, delusional disorder and psychosis disorder are two very different things. So, psychosis is either you know, hear voices or you see things that aren't there. Delusions is a thought process, a belief system that is far-fetched in layman terms. So I'll give you guys an example. Someone with schizophrenia experiences both psychosis and delusions. But here's the catch. I hear voices. My voice's name is Jimmy. Jimmy told me that Lady DMC is out to get me. She's trying to kill me. So what am I going to do? Jimmy told me take that kitchen knife and now go after her. That's schizophrenia. There's other things to schizophrenia. You're telling me this individual deals with both separate issues, so why didn't we just diagnose her with schizophrenia then? And what's irritating the crap out of me is her entire treatment plan, from what we've read online, is an antidepressant, and that's it. And ever since, and she's been down for what, 5 years now? 7 years?
The crime occurred 7 years ago, and she's been in this institution for 4 years.
Okay, so in 4 years, you're telling me all of his psychosis, all of the delusion is gone, the PTSD is managed, her MDD is managed, we're all fine and dandy again?
Please tell me, but is the therapy, I don't think it is, but I'm gonna ask you, is the therapy and the medication, I mean, I suffer from depression. I was diagnosed with MDD. Would I be taking the same medication as her with psychosis and delusional disorders? Would I be getting the same treatment as her? I'm just asking, I don't know, so.
So, I mean, antidepressants can be used with people who deal with psychosis and delusion disorder, because your delusions and or the voices or the things you see may lead you to feel depressed. That's fine. But what else was happening there? She wasn't on Haldol. She wasn't on any antipsychotics. From what I'm researching, and it seems like you've come up with the same results, the only form of treatment she's received medication-wise is an antidepressant. Also, supposedly, her and Morgan were in the same unit the whole time. They had constant communication while they're quote-unquote being hospitalized. If this person partnered up with this other person to create such a gruesome crime, why are they in the same psychiatric unit? Fine, if they need to be in the same hospital, that's fine. But why aren't they in two different units? Why are they allowed to commingle still?
Yeah, no, and aren't you supposed... I mean, I'm thinking that if you... I forget the term here, but if you're both being persecuted in the same case, I thought you were supposed to be kept separate anyway. I thought that was the law. You weren't... Isn't it co-defendant? I think it is. I forget. Anyway. But I thought you were supposed to keep separate from the person that you're being accused with. But again, what do I know?
So one thing we gotta bear in mind here, Warriors, is... So Lady DMC and I, we live in California. So our laws are very different than Wisconsin's laws. So I don't know if their laws are different than ours. I know in California, yes, they're supposed to be separated. But I'm not sure the laws of that state.
Gotcha. Okay. Oh, and sorry, by the way, before we continue, I also wanted to say that was actually the whole medication thing was part of the petition that Anissa put in. And it was supposedly... her saying that with that medication she didn't have the psychosis or the delusions anymore, so that's another reason that she should be released conditionally. I mean, I don't know. Okay, sorry. I just wanted to put that out there.
No worries. I have so much to say about this, like, from the clinical standpoint. First off, let's go back to these young ladies' age. So they were 12. I know Morgan had just turned 12, actually. She was, I want to say, like, it was only been 2 weeks since she had turned 12. And supposedly when she was 11 years old is when this all started. So this planning process, like you mentioned, had been going on when she was 11 years old. So an 11-year-old planned out a murder. I want you guys to sit with that. A preteen planned a murder.
And by the way, Warriors, that was actually something that the persecution actually took into account when they were being brought in front of a judge, when they were being tried, was the fact that they had the capacity, the mental capacity at that age to premeditate something like that, which is why they were actually, fun fact, tried as adults.
And I just don't think, I mean, look, I'm talking from the clinical standpoint. I did not dissect this case to its T, so I may be missing some information, Warriors, so please educate us. But a 12-year-old / 11-year-old, we'll say, does not understand consequences to the same extreme that adults do. And if Morgan, like they claim, had childhood schizophrenia, which is very rare, 0.3% of people in the world get diagnosed in childhood. So I get that her dad has schizophrenia, but part of me just doesn't believe it. And so I guess my question and concern is, how is someone getting out in 4 years? Either she never had any of these diagnoses and they were just used for reasons of insanity, or she's been misdiagnosed with something else, and in actuality we're just waiting for another disaster to happen.
And that was actually what the defense was trying to use to keep her in the facility, to keep her locked up, is the fact that her brain is still, yes, she's 19, but her brain has not matured enough for her to fully understand what it was that she did at such young of an age. I mean, yes, I know you're 11, you're 12, but you understand death. I think, you know, at a young age, you learn with pets, you learn with grandparents that unfortunately pass when our parents tell us, you know, they're not coming back. So you knew that if you were going to do that to your friend, she was not going to come back. You were taking a life. You knew what you were doing. And it is very fishy to me, Desi girl, as well, because her sentence was 25 years. They don't give a reason of good behavior. They don't give time served. They don't give nothing. They're just saying she's just getting out 7 years later after 4 years of being institutionalized. And I'm over here like, okay, can you please explain to us why? I mean, yes, they say she completed her high school at the institution, and I know the judge is probably considering the fact, as I was explaining to you before we started recording offline, the fact that when they committed this crime and they were being interrogated, still with their bloody clothes and everything at intake or whatever, Morgan was the one that showed no remorse at all. And Anissa was the one that was saying, I didn't want to do it. She made me, like, she was telling me that if I didn't, like, my family was going to die and this and that. She made me do it. How's Peyton? Is she alive? Did I kill my friend? This and that. While Morgan showed nothing. Again, going back to what you're saying, I do not know why they're releasing her early. And not even halftime early, like, earlier than halftime early. Not even 12 and a half years or 13 years later. Like, you can see how soon she's being let out.
There's a bigger issue here, though. So, again, worries. So, Anissa, it's very murky what her diagnosis is. Whereas Morgan is diagnosed with schizophrenia. And for those that don't know what schizophrenia is, I'm going to take a moment. Well, so, schizophrenia is a psychosis disorder. So, an individual will experience delusions, hallucinations, disorganized speech, grossly disorganized or catatonic behavior, negative symptoms such as like flat affect, just really like you don't see any emotions. And they typically struggle with functioning in society. And, you know, there's different aspects of, you know, schizophrenia. There's like schizoaffective disorder and schizotypical and schizophreniform and, you know, all these lovely psychosis disorders that come with mood disorders and everything else on the planet. But I'm just not convinced that she was schizophrenic at the time. And I'll tell you why, because I was reading some information on Morgan's intake in the psychiatric unit, and supposedly she was talking to Harry Potter and, you know, random people in her head. And it makes me think, because again, she watched her dad in full psychosis on several occasions. Do you think Morgan learned what it was like to be schizophrenic to the point where she was able to mimic the symptoms?
Potentially. I mean, again, we don't know her. We never lived with her. But as a child, I know you're a sponge from when you're born to 5 years old. That's where you absorb so many things. So it could have been a learned behavior. And, you know, considering the fact a lot of children at that age, a lot of preteens are very bright and know how to get out of things. She knew what she did. She knew that it was premeditated murder. And what's the best way to get out of a crime like that many times? Faking a mental illness. That's exactly why they got the years that they did. I mean, it was because they pleaded not guilty due to mental illness. It could have very well have been an excuse.
My other thing is, and I believe it was Anissa that was saying this to classmates, that she had figured out how to get rid of the Slenderman person or whatever, and it was to kill a friend, and then that person was like, what? And then they're like, oh, don't worry, it's not you. And that goes back to, that's premeditated right there. Someone with delusion, and again, I think we're missing something here. If someone was legit psychotic with delusions, they don't function for very long. Eventually, you're gonna see them decompensating. They're gonna go down that rabbit hole and be like, oh, there it is, you know? And when I'm hearing these diagnoses, especially the psychosis and the delusion, it makes me question, because did the dad or the mom see this prior to the incident? Did you see her talking to herself a lot? Did you see her kind of like have really odd beliefs that you're like, well, that just doesn't make any sense, sweet pea? Like, what, there had to be warning signs, right? Because again, I don't know if you've ever interacted with someone with a psychotic disorder, but it doesn't take very long for them to show that magic power that they've got. Whereas Morgan did seem odd. Like, her teachers were describing her very odd, her belief systems were very odd. So people saw Morgan, you know, probably is schizophrenic. But I don't think Anissa has any of the, maybe MDD, but I don't think she has PTSD. I don't think she has psychosis or delusion disorder. And I also, I'm gonna be upfront about it. I think she has antisocial personality disorder. Homegirl has no remorse. She knew how to act. That got her the 25 years, good for her. And I think Morgan, though, may have schizophrenia, I also think that she has ASPD as well, because again, like you described, Morgan had no remorse, no concern that Peyton might die and that I might be charged with first degree murder.
Yeah, my question is, if you're so psychotic and so delusional as Anissa claimed to be, or as they claimed to be in her defense, how is it that it was so logical for her, as they were stabbing their friend, as they were killing her, basically, and just to be able to tell her, oh, don't move. The more you move, the faster you're going to bleed out.
And see, that's what my question is to you. Is that someone who supposedly is so... They wouldn't say that. They wouldn't say, don't move, because you're going to bleed out. Because that's being in the right sound of mind, right?
That sounds pretty sound and logical to me.
Right. So again, it goes back to what is really going on here with Anissa, because this is really weird to me. Like, from the mental standpoint, we don't just release people like, oh yeah, you've been doing fantastic, out you go. Trust me, I've worked with patients for long periods of time and they keep it together until they don't. And then you're like, there it is. See, I knew it. Like, you know, and again, I'm not trying to put people down with mental illness, but you are gonna relapse. And I don't think she ever had that diagnosis, because I read that they were in the same unit, right? And apparently Morgan had befriended a group of people who were into witchcraft and stuff like that, and Anissa, you know, joined into the group and realized, oh yeah, I can't be a part of that, and went and told her clinician, hey, you know, this is what's happening in the unit, I want to remove myself because it's not good for me. Someone who is psychotic and delusional cannot give that insight quite yet. It takes years to get someone to that point where they understand what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, my belief system is not reality. It's not based on reality. How can someone 4 months into their term in this mental asylum say, oh yeah, so I can't do that because that got me in trouble?
Yeah, she sounds way too clear-minded to me. And I didn't know you're actually informing me along with our warriors about that part of the witchcraft. I didn't know that Morgan had found that while being institutionalized.
Yeah, so it was a group of people, and I mean, it's pretty common with patients with delusions and psychosis, like witchcraft is huge. And someone who's genuinely schizophrenic expresses that, and it's like, yes, I understand that, and we're gonna work through it. But someone who can pick and choose when they're delusional and when they're psychotic is not actually delusional or psychotic. They need to face the facts, really reassess this girl, because I'm telling you, she is an accident waiting to happen.
I personally, I don't think she's ready to be let out. I'm glad that Morgan is there longer, but Anissa, I'm questioning it just as much as you are. And also, Desi girl, going back to how we questioned in our episode about Yolanda, you know, with Selena. In this case, how is it, as you said, that the parents did not notice that something was going on? How do I know that there is something off with my daughter that is not correct, right in the head, and I sent her to her friend's house like that?
So are you speaking about Morgan or Anissa?
Both of them.
See, I think we need to separate the two, because Morgan, based on what I've read, again, I don't know her, I have never done an intake assessment with her. It seemed like Morgan was slowly showing signs of schizophrenia, but again, I do question it, because it's a very slim chance of children showing schizophrenia at such a young age. Typically, schizophrenia starts to show around 18, 19, so the age she's at now is when I should be seeing full-fledged symptoms. My concern is that I think Anissa was sound-minded. I think, you know, I remember reading that she was described as a loner at the school. She didn't really have any friends. I guess Morgan was her only friend. I think this is a case of peer pressure gone very, very wrong. Again, to me, it's really odd that Anissa's allowed to get... I think she's out. I think it's really weird that she was allowed to leave with, you know, whatever her little contingencies are. And Morgan is left in the mental institution. And I don't know if you've seen pictures, but if you look at when Morgan... Like, there's a picture of her, like, making cupcakes for her birthday or something. And it was, like, 2 weeks before this incident. And then you see her now, and it's like night and day with her. Looks very ill and unhealthy right now.
No, I've only actually seen pictures and videos after they committed the crime. And the most recent picture that I saw, which is why I got inspired for this episode and thought we should bring it up to our warriors, was the picture of Anissa's latest trial, which is where supposedly she was told that they could make the conditional, they could put the conditional points together for her release. But I haven't seen pictures of Morgan.
Yeah, so Anissa looks healthy. Like, Anissa looks a bit like she's gotten older, but she does, you don't see that, not trademark, but like, you can tell someone who, as they're claiming, is on antidepressants, on psychotic antipsychotics, there's certain, like, physical markings that you can tell. You typically gain weight, like, significant weight from it. And, you know, there's some facial features that sometimes come up, like tics and stuff like that. And Morgan presents with it, whereas Anissa doesn't present with anything. And I genuinely, you know, think that it's ASPD. And for warriors out there, if you're wondering, like, what in the world is this ASPD? Think back to Girl Interrupted. We talked about this in the Angelina Jolie episode. Lisa. If you think about how Lisa was taunting people, she knew exactly what to say at the right time to push a button. She knew, you know, how to weave herself through the facility. You know, she would go under the tunnel and get out of the mental asylum and go back and come back in and, you know, convince people not to take their meds. And that's what I think Anissa is. I think Anissa is a Lisa.
Which would completely make sense to how she could manipulate people. Now that you put it in layman's terms, in terms that even I can understand, I go back to Girl Interrupted and I'm just thinking of all the things that Lisa does and I'm like, yeah, I could see how Morgan would be able to convince her friend to do this. And remember the point that I said towards the beginning as well, Desi Girl. What was it that Anissa was saying about Morgan? She was saying, I didn't want to do it. She made me do it. She was the one who told me to do this or else I would have consequences and my family would have consequences.
And it goes back to their argument that, oh, well, she was in the midst of her delusions or her psychosis. And it's so interesting that they diagnosed her with PTSD and MDD because that's never brought up. It's not because of her depression or because of her PTSD. It's constantly the psychosis and the delusion that's being brought up as the reason why she did what she did. Now, I know Anissa didn't even stab her, right? It was all Morgan.
I'm trying to think. I think I've heard both things. The main person there of the planning and the stabbing was Morgan. Like, that's a given. That's why she got 15 more years than Anissa. But I don't know if Anissa just held Peyton down or if she at one point also helped with the stabbing.
And now the question goes, and we've had this conversation on several different episodes, is, okay, fine. Let's say Morgan told you that if you don't do this, your family's in danger, or whatever shenanigans that she lied to you about. But why didn't you tell an adult? Why didn't you tell someone else? Like, hey, this is what Morgan's telling me. I'm scared for myself. Why? I'm a little confused on why she continued to go along with it.
And the problem is, if you tell anybody else this, they're gonna say, oh, it was peer pressure. She was just afraid to speak up. Like, that's usually the excuse for anything that goes wrong with alcohol, drugs, any of these types of things that supposedly the younger generation and does that's incorrect. And I really hope that is not an excuse that Anissa's parents are using. Oh, it was just peer pressure. No, 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 sweetheart. No, boo. Let me tell you one thing. If you did this, you know what you were gonna do to your friend. That was a choice that you made. Peer pressure or not, you know it's not okay to take somebody's life. So don't come and tell me that because your friend told you to do this, it was okay to have her grab a knife, shove it in your friend's body 19 times, almost shattering an artery, millimeters away, injuring her liver, and causing her to walk basically agonizing or drag herself agonizing to the end of a road and end up 6 days in a hospital. No, boo. It doesn't work like that.
I just, to me, from the clinical standpoint, I think there needs to be a retrial. There needs to be brand new mental health workers involved in this. They need to reassess this because I don't think either party is adequately diagnosed. I don't think they're getting the treatment that they need. Let's just believe that they do have mental illnesses. I don't think this is gonna work. And I think I understand that supposedly Anissa can't make contact with Peyton until whatever the year.
2039.
There you go. Okay, fine, whatever. Good for you. But homegirl doesn't even go to school in this. I don't think she's in the state anymore. Like, she goes to school somewhere else. She works somewhere else. She's nowhere near Anissa. But again, they're only focusing on Peyton. How do you not know that this quote-unquote delusion and psychosis isn't linked to other people or maybe a group of people or anybody? I just, from the mental health standpoint, I've worked with patients with severe psychosis. I mean, there is no reality at all in our conversations. And I literally go through, like I said, like it's a magic carpet ride through their world of their delusions, the psychosis, the voices were telling me to do this. And, you know, the voice told me this and blah, 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 blah. And I kind of shared that in season one. It's hard for me to believe that someone just snaps out of it in 4 years because it doesn't work like that. And I would want to see Anissa still responding to internal stimuli. I would want to see Anissa's conversation where I'm like, ooh, there's that delusion right there. And I'm not seeing that. She sounds very sound-minded. She sounds like nothing is wrong with her. Everything's fine and dandy. I'm very interested to hear what antidepressant she was on because, you know, as you know, you've had the opportunity to, do trial and error with medication. Some medications don't do anything for you, and some medications cause you to be a zombie. So what medication was she on that magically fixed everything? Because I'd love to hear about it.
And, oh my gosh, there's so many things I want to say. Let me see if I can remember and try to break it down into parts here. So the first part is, that's exactly what the defense was saying. Like, how do you know that she's not capable of going out and doing this again? She's not okay to be out in society, which I completely agree. And mind you, Desi girl, psychosis or no psychosis, delusion or no delusion, whatever it is, you were able to stand there, hold your friend down, and watch her almost get killed. How do you know she's not going to be the one to grab the knife next time? First of all. Second of all, the whole medication thing. You know what, boo? I find it very interesting that on the first try, they got it right for you. I find it very interesting that they were able to find a medication that actually worked for you, took away all your psychosis, all your delusion, when I know that for myself, it took more than one try, it took more than one cocktail of medication to actually get it right and get my particular symptoms in check. So if you were able to get something that actually helped you right away, good for you, and that's amazing, but I don't buy it.
So again, I'm interested to hear what their diagnosis is and what medications were provided to them in the unit, because what their diagnosis is that we're hearing in the media does not match the medication that magically cleared up all her symptoms. Antidepressants help with people with psychosis, but it doesn't get rid of the psychosis, nor does it reduce it so significantly where you can become a functioning part of society again. And her whole rationale about I need to be part of society again because I've maxed out on all of my services here at mental health or in the mental unit is B to me, because how could you have maxed out services already when you've been there, 4 years? There's no way on earth that she's maxed out services. I think there is some bamboozling happening, and you know, we'll see. She's out in the open in the community, and we'll keep an eye out, and if there's any updates, then we will definitely talk about them during our update episodes towards the end of the season. But for now, we will leave you at this. Lady DMC, you want to close us out?
Of course, Desi girl. So, warriors, this is where we will leave you for this week, but as I like to say, please don't be too saddened that our episode is over, because we will be back with another amazing one for you next Tuesday. Same time, same place. Till then, stay happy, stay healthy, and we'll see you for the next one.
Bye.
Well, warriors, that's all we have for you today. But please, don't be too saddened, as we'll be back next week. Till then, stay happy, stay healthy, and we'll see you for the next one.
Bye.